Well, we have a memory verse for the month, and we'll get that up there for you in just a second. Kristen asked me, well, where is the message this morning? And I said, well, I thought I sent it to you this morning at 4 a.m. And so I'm going, man, I know I did. And we got to the office, and I left it in the draft section. I want to thank Ron and Kristen for getting everything together for us, like, real quick this morning. All right, we're going to start off with our reference and our scripture, and then our reference again. Here we go. John 13:8, Peter said, you are not going to wash my feet ever. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you can't be a part of what I am doing. John 13:8. Remember, that's from the Message Bible. I just really like what that says there. So if you want to be part of God's family and do what Christ wants us to do, we got to let him serve us as he served the disciples, and then we serve him. So we've been talking about God on display, and as I was writing the message this week, I was sitting at the dining room table, and I was looking over the lake, you know, our retention pond, and it was about 6 a.m. in the morning or so, and was once again awestruck by the awesomeness of God's display just over that little lake. It just finished raining. The clouds were kind of hanging low, and the pond was smooth as glass. And once the sun started creeping out, you all saw how green the grass has been getting. It's wonderful. And the trees, of course, starting to show their magic as usual. And across the lake was an American flag that was just kind of blowing in the breeze at the neighbor across the lake. And, you know, my Bible was open. There were other books spread about the table and periodicals and articles and all sorts of things that I like to study before and while I write my message. And, of course, my good buddy, Kirk Franklin, he was throwing out some gospel music. I have a little JBL, round JBL thing, and I plug a little music in nice and lightly, and he was playing and singing. And I got to thinking, God is good. And in fact, God is not only good, he's better than good. And to me, sometimes I go, you're too good. I'm not worth any of this, or I'm not worthy of what you're displaying this morning. That morning, of course, God was on display. And I will admit it, I had a rough week this past week. But here's the deal. God showed up. He always does. So this Easter season, we've been talking about how God shows up in the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's everywhere. And he's not the bad and the ugly. He just shows up there, doesn't he? And you may ask why. Well, God shows up, I think, to display his glory and majesty, to bring healing, to bring wholeness and strength and courage. And of course, for those who don't believe, to bring life eternal. Now, I think that's wonderful, great, beautiful, good news. Well, today the Christian world celebrates Palm Sunday, as we all know, and it's quite a majestic moment in history. Jesus rides into town, and while we look at it as a day of celebration, I mean, churches around the world are celebrating today, I would like to take a quick look at it through the eyes of Jesus. And what's interesting is, as Judy was talking about that this morning, her and I never conversed on what we were going to say or anything like that. She hit the nail on the head. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I want to take a quick look at it through the eyes of Jesus, if at all possible. So I'm going to read to you. She read from the book of Mark. Is that right, Judy? Yep. And I'm going to read to you the story from the book of Luke in chapter 19, starting in verse 28. It says this. After Jesus had said this, he was talking to some folks, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem, and as he approached Bethphage of Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying, go to the village ahead of you, and you enter it. You will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, well, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, well, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, put Jesus on it, and as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Now notice it says there, the whole crowd of disciples. And then we continue on verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke those disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. They're going to cry out the same thing. So imagine stones, you know, crying those things out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. He's talking about Jerusalem here. And they will dash you to the ground, and you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. So the first thing we need to know is that this is a story about God being on display. You might recall the book of Matthew, where Jesus was born to a virgin named Mary. And the Bible tells us he was to be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so from the very start there, God was on display in Jesus Christ. We say Jesus is God incarnate. In other words, Jesus became one of us. Jesus became a human being. God became a human being in Jesus. He made himself human, and he lived a human life for 33 years. He felt the pain, he felt the suffering that we feel today, and right, magnified. So it was not simply Jesus who rode into town that day 2,000 years ago. It was God. It was God on display. Now the Bible tells us in Luke that the folks didn't recognize this. Says it plain. What they did think was that Jesus was coming to town to rule as King David did. Just kind of this human warrior. He was going to take over the crown. But here was Jesus, God on display. He was doing something totally different, unlike a king coming home from battle. He was riding humbly into town on a donkey. Now, I think if I were to be king, I'd be riding in a Hummer. Right? With a security force or the Secret Service, the size of somebody that could take care of the Queen of England, right? Because I'm the king. Jesus was not like that. Watching Jesus ride into town was huge for these folks in Jerusalem and the disciples, because they had seen him do many miracles, the Bible tells us, and they shout out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But they missed something pretty important, that this was not just Jesus, the healer, who came to town. This was not just some healer who was related to King David who came to town. This was God on display, starting to fulfill his plan of salvation. And as Jesus said, you all didn't recognize it. Well, while folks were celebrating, while the folks were celebrating, I got to thinking a little bit. What was Jesus thinking about as he rode to town? Was this a road of joy for Jesus, a road of happiness, or maybe it was a road of sorrow and suffering? Well, the first word I thought of, it's an old word, perdition. Does anybody know that word, perdition? It's kind of a strange word, the road to perdition. That's the first thing that popped in my mind for Jesus. The word perdition, it's not often used anymore, but I want to take a quick look at it so we can kind of get an understanding. The word began its life meaning utter destruction. Perdition, utter destruction. And it derives from a Latin word which means to destroy. And so our English language kind of defines it as the state of being in hell as punishment after death. Perdition can also mean Gehenna, which is hell. It can mean hell. So for Jesus, He had to be thinking about where he was going, right? And that's what Judy was saying. He wasn't just going to Jerusalem. It was almost like he made this choice to ride himself to the gallows, where he would be killed, destroyed. While everyone was celebrating, we can see in the scripture that Jesus actually wept over Jerusalem, which, by the way, is obviously no celebration on his part. But in the Greek, it doesn't mean just weep. It means that when Jesus got to town, he burst into tears. This was a huge thing. The people, they missed it, because here was God on display. You know, too often we look to the celebration of the people upon what is called Jesus' triumphal entry. We forget what Jesus was going through as he entered the city of Jerusalem, which, boy, did he love. So Jesus went down that road knowing that judgment on sin and sickness was about to take place, and that there would have to be some kind of atonement. And that is, he would have to put himself on display as a sacrificial lamb. It was everything but triumphal for Jesus. He knew he would have to suffer the whip's beating, a thorn of crowns, take on all our sickness and disease. And folks, I believe that just wasn't some kind of metaphor or something. I believe he literally took them on. And as that old definition for perdition would declare, be in hell as punishment. Now, it sounds weird. In the Lutheran church, when I grew up in the Lutheran church, we would always recite the Apostles' Creed. Some of you might know the Apostles' Creed. The American Baptists, or Baptists per se, are not creedal people. But the Apostles' Creed in part says, he, meaning Jesus, descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Now, there can be a debate, we don't need to go into all that sort of stuff, whether Jesus actually went to hell. The fact remains that taking on the sin of the world, I would think, is hell itself. Could you imagine taking on all that sickness, shame, guilt, pain, and suffering? So I think we have to believe that as Jesus rode into town, he was thinking of these things. The crowd was not. I don't think Jesus was thinking that much about what the crowd was saying to him. He had to have on his mind, uh-oh, here we go. This is not going to be fun. They were thinking of victory that might take place because a new king was riding into town, one who would follow in the reign of King David. Jesus, I think, was probably thinking of victory, but in a different way. Jesus, as he talked, basically said, look, guys, God is on display. You all didn't get it. Your enemies, and he said it right here, what we read, your enemies will overtake you and destroy the place. And that happened in 70 AD to Jerusalem. So his prophecy was fulfilled from that day. What is interesting, and really, folks, is true of the church today, is that it was not the crowds who first ragged on Jesus. It wasn't his disciples who ragged on him. It was the church. It was the synagogue. It was the leaders there. It was the Pharisees. Remember, the Pharisees actually believed in resurrection. But it was the Pharisees. They asked Jesus, they just didn't like this, so they asked Jesus, rebuke your disciples, because they came into town reveling in the idea that Jesus was the Messiah, the earthly Messiah. And Jesus said, well, sorry, no can do. Can't do it. Because if I do that, those silent stones, they're going to start screaming out at you. Then you'll really be freaked out. You think it's bad with the disciples? Just wait till the stones start yelling at you. And they were yelling, not the stones, but the folks were yelling, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor Dave, you're being too negative. You've got that positive thing over there. You know, you signed that positive pledge. You're too negative about the triumphal entry of Jesus in Jerusalem. And I get that, because we love to sing and we love to celebrate because we know the end of the story. It is happy for us. The good news is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so I don't want to take that away from our celebration, because that is true. But I do want us to understand that Jesus went through so much, and the angst of Jesus, what he must have been going through, was maybe even heart-wrenching and gut-wrenching, so much so that he burst into tears. The fact is, the story is really about Jesus, and it's not about the crowd. It's about God. And God coming to town. Remember, I said the old English definition of perdition is the state of being in hell forever as punishment after death. That's the choice we have, isn't it? The beauty, the good news of Jesus is that he rode, or I say he strolled into town to defeat that, to bring life, to bring joy, to bring rejoicing and hallelujah and hosanna, all that great stuff, and actually to get rid of sin and destroy it once and for all, so that people who do believe and come to know him as Savior and Lord will have everlasting life. Now that, my friends, is the good news that we need to bring to every person on this planet. Do you, when you're sitting here, when you come to church or where you're at, I've asked it before, you need to ask it of one another. Do you recognize God is here? Do you recognize it? And if so, be specific. How? How do you know God is here? How do you recognize God when we don't physically see him? Do you know the interesting thing, 2,000 years ago, people physically got to see God in Christ. They didn't get it. Have you seen God displayed in the reading of the word? Maybe it's a hymn you sang this morning, or Juna opening up with the song, the prelude, or the video clip on the triumphal entry. Hopefully God was on display. Has anybody been to the Billy Graham Library in, is it North Carolina? I think it's North Carolina. Anybody been there? Well, there's a theater there. It's a 40,000 square foot experience, they call it. And in that experience, at the end, there's a Just As I Am theater. Let it drop. But at that theater, you come out, and there are people who will help you. Well, this one lady, her name was Katya. She went through the whole deal, 40,000 whatever square foot thing, wandered around, and then her and her hubby went through the Just As I Am theater. And One of the folks that was there, helping assist people, just went up to her and said, "Hey, how would you like some prayer?" Boom, she burst into tears. And as the years had passed in her life, she had been questioning whether faithfulness to rituals and traditions, if that was enough to serve God. The Constitution, the bylaws, the confessions that they did at her church. Now think of the Pharisees as they told Jesus to rebuke his disciples. At this point, she's talking like a Pharisee, because that's all she does, is the tradition, the confessions, the bylaws. And so she was wondering if she could know, really, from all of that, would she go to heaven? It's kind of a good works thing, isn't it? And she found satisfaction. She loved to do those things, which I do too. I like saying a confession. I like signing a pledge. I like making commitments, even though I break them like a human. But I like to do those kind of things. They hold you accountable. I like to do them. But you can never truly find total contentment and joy and happiness, the kind that she longed for, because that only comes through a personal fulfillment with your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so for some reason, God was never on display for her in that way. And by the time Katya and her husband exited that theater, that passageway, the Just As I Am theater, where she saw God on display, she received Christ. She repented. And finally, she could see. You know, when God is on display, people come to know him. And if we as a church do not display God, people aren't going to know God. They aren't even going to care about God. We want to make God known to everyone. And for that to happen, we have to know God. And when we know God, when we love God and his son Jesus Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit, God puts himself on display through us. Katya and her husband were proof of that as they went through that tour together. You know, we all have a choice, just like the disciples, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, everybody on this planet. We have that choice to say yes to Jesus Christ. We have that choice. You can't blame me if you say no. You can only blame yourself. And so we have that choice to avoid the perdition that Jesus himself came to get rid of. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to proclaim that. But you know what? Many of the folks missed it. They didn't get it. They didn't recognize that Jesus was God himself on display. I'm asking you this morning, do you recognize it? Do you really recognize who Jesus is? Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, this is a great day to celebrate because you are an awesome God. You are so wonderful. Your power is just majestic. You have defeated the grave. We know that already. We know the end of the story. And so we're happy for that. We're excited about that. And at the same time, we need to remember, as we did this morning, the pain and the suffering, everything that maybe that you were thinking as you were going to that town. You were taking yourself by choice to death. That's pretty incredible. And what's even more incredible is that you did it for me. And you did it for each person here. You did it for each person on this planet, past, present, future. And now that we know the story, all we have to do is say yes. I pray that you'll be with each person in here today, Lord, that each one, I'm praying that each one has given their heart, their mind, their souls, their bodies, everything they have to you. Because you are Lord and King. The triumphal entry really seems to be when you enter our lives and our hearts. What a triumph that is. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.